Welcome to Climate Quickies, bite-sized nuggets of climate goodness from our TEDx London experts in under 5 minutes.
I'd like you to join me in welcoming Dr. Amira Sawas. She's the Director of Programs and Research at Climate Outreach, and Amira has a diverse experience in climate, environmental and development research and programming work across the private, non-governmental and academic sectors. It's taken her to various countries, including Sweden, Pakistan, Jordan and Kenya. And as a result, she's really passionate about the potential of bringing diverse stakeholders together to combat climate change and set an inclusive vision for our collective future.
Okay, so if we think about when the climate crisis really accelerated, when our emissions pathway accelerated, this was a time, particularly during the time of colonial extraction across the world, that men were in control of a lot of the decisions, and they still are in control of a lot of the decisions. Trash. About 14% of the world's ministers on climate are women only, and that has improved like 2% in the last 5 years, despite there being this big global action plan to deal with that. So it's quite pervasive who is making the decisions, not just at a global political level, but also if you think about the kind of areas of life where, you know, climate change kind of cuts across. So things around land, things around water, sort of day-to-day decision-making related to our environment. Across the world, it's mostly men who are in control. There's a bit of a vicious circle when it comes to climate and gender, right? Because men make the decisions, and those decisions don't necessarily, they're quite patriarchal, and then women get more impacted. So men have really driven the business model, which has got us to the place that we're in now. The people who are most affected by climate are people who have livelihoods which are tied to environment, who are facing inequality and marginalization. And if we look at that, about 70% of the world's poorest are actually women and girls. And about 40% of the world's most poor households are led by women. So there's the fact that a lot of the sort of small land owners, sort of farmers, are women as well. Women are involved about 50 to 80% of global food production, but only own about 10% of the land. So they don't have control over the decisions right. related to the land. So when there are like shocks and stresses related to climate, it's men who make the decisions. 40% of the world's poorest households are headed by women. Okay, so fundamentally, the people who are facing the most marginalization, the most inequality on the whole are women. If we look at climate-related disasters, so there's a statistic that gets used a lot, that women and girls are 14 times more likely to die in a climate-related disaster. Hurricane Katrina is a really good example of this, okay? Hurricane Katrina happened in a city where there had been historical racial segregation and racism, and also a lot of poverty and inequality intersecting with that. So when the hurricane hit, it was mainly single mums, black single mums, who were living in social housing in the center of the city, who were waiting for their social welfare check to come. Right. For them to actually leave, whereas the kind of rich people, as the white communities who had more money, who lived in the suburbs, had access to cash and cars and left really quickly. Those women stayed because they were waiting for their welfare check, but then it got too late and then they were severely affected by it. So there are sort of these intersecting dynamics between gender, race, and class, which make women basically more vulnerable overall. There's also a lot of evidence that if you have more women's representation on things like water management committees, forestry committees, there was a study that found that when you had women and men equally on forestry committees in India and Nepal, the forest cover improved by 12%. If you look at governments in the world, there was a study, I think, of 91 countries where there was a higher proportion of women in parliament. There were better climate policies. There were better, more sustainable climate outcomes. It was more ambitious. So I think if you have multiple lenses and perspectives, and also because we're aware of our own exclusions, we can be a bit more focused on inclusion. And, you know, so I think just putting women in control is probably the way to do things.
Thanks for listening to this quickie.
This episode was created by our superstar podcast team at TEDx London and supported by our headline partner, the global bank, Citi. Until next time,
stay curious.